You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. Good morning, happy Tuesday, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. Whether you like it or not, we are in election season. We are always in election season. This is Wisconsin. Today, I want to introduce you to Corrine Hendrickson. And if you know that name, it's because you listen to us and you're fans. And recently, Corrine made the announcement that she will be running for state senate for District 17, which is south central Wisconsin. And she joined us on Matt and Aaron Air to talk about why she's running, but she started first with a little bit of her story.
So a family child care professional for 18 years. I became a strong advocate for kids with disabilities about 13 years ago because over the years, I've had around 70 children enrolled, which again, family child care is smaller. And a lot of those kids stayed with me from birth until five or six. But of those 70-ish kids, 17 had special needs diagnosis. Either I helped them get go through the process, or I helped them get services, or I started advocating because I had a little girl who, she's 12 now, and she was here on my last day this summer. And she, you know, really helped me understand that our state does not have the services that are required, and taught me how to learn the process, how to advocate, how to stand up for these kids and, you know, ourselves as the teachers. And 5 years ago, started Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed to like really make a statewide grassroots group. We're up to around 2,000 people, parents, providers, community members, business owners. And again, this summer, we tried for the third time to get that budget to include child care funding. And again, we were blocked. Did everything we were told to do in any other past administration with sane people, it would have worked, right? Because we did what we were supposed to do. We did what has worked in the past, but the goalpost just kept moving.
Right.
And so I decided, since my business was going to close because I could no longer justify sacrificing my own family, my own health, my own everything, for the families to be able to continue their career trajectories and take care of their kids. And I couldn't outprice them. So it worked out. I was able to get all of them in with the group center in town.
No kidding.
They all wanted to go. They all got in except one. But the one that didn't go only needed part-time, and my substitute is now the nanny. So everyone is taken care of. That makes me so like happy that I was able to do that like one last thing of giving and caring. And now I'm going to take it to the next level, and I'm running for Senate.
That's fantastic. It really is. And I just applaud your dedication. I applaud your commitment and how you've been such an advocate, especially for kids with special needs. And I didn't realize that you would actually have to go through and help the parents get these kids the help that they need. That's just another indictment on how difficult our system is to navigate.
Yeah, it's not set up for success. It's set up for failure. It's set up, as Reagan said, I'm the worst, you know, the worst words you can hear is I'm from the government.
And I'm here to help you.
He made it true.
Right, yeah.
And that wasn't true before. But when you take the funding and you cut it and you disable things and you dismantle things and then they don't work, then you can say, oh, it doesn't work. We should privatize it. And that's exactly why we're here today, where we are as individuals trying to do whatever we can to help. But we don't have enough energy and time. And it shouldn't be this way. And it shouldn't be this hard. And we need people like myself who understand that and who are willing to fight, willing to connect, willing to get out in the community and talk to people about what it is that they need and how I can help.
I think that's interesting too, that I remember that line from when I was a little kid, because it was spoken throughout the household of I'm from the government, I'm here to help. But it's now just I'm from the government, I won't even try to help you. I won't even attempt to help you. And I will vilify you for asking for help. And I want to go back to something we talked about a couple months ago when the budget actually passed, because I'm going to fully admit, Corrine, to you and to all of our listeners, when the budget passed and we were given this notion that Governor Evers is signing it at 1:30 in the morning and State Senator Dianne Hesselbein walked in and said, we need to get something done. There was a good feeling there. Unfortunately, we found out like a day later that a lot of people were unhappy, including yourself, because some people could walk away saying, well, Corrine, you got a lot of money. Why aren't you just happy about that? That's something. But tell us why that wasn't enough.
So yeah, something is why we're here, where we are today. We celebrate crumbs and it needs to stop. The something that we got was 11 months of 20 some percent less payment per month. Ends in June. We're calling it a plank in a pond, not a bridge, because it's a bridge to nowhere. There's nothing on the other side. Mm-hmm. And the exchange, the compromise for us to get this funding for childcare was that 16 and 17 year olds are now allowed to be an assistant teacher in a classroom with toddlers, because yes, work release and apprenticeships exist. It's not just after school, before school. And seven toddlers to one adult. So in some of those classrooms, you're looking at an 18 year old, a 16 year old, and 14 toddlers. That is never okay. Mm. We have fought for years and put ourselves in front of these kids and our financial well-being to make sure that they are in good, high quality, safe environments. This does the exact opposite. And again, I understand and can accept that this was probably the best they could do for funding. I cannot accept that you're going to pretend it was a good thing, because it wasn't. And so few people trust their elected representatives because they see the press release that says this will reduce out-of-pocket costs for parents. And then all of a sudden now their childcare provider is like, I'm closing. I'm raising my rates $50 a week. And they're like, well, you just got all this money. We're like, no, we got 110 out of 480 million. The $330 million was out of $1 billion.
Right, right.
So, you know, again, I don't understand why it couldn't just be truthful. Brooke introduced me yesterday, and it was amazing. I did not know she was going to do that. And so she said, I really want people to understand that Corrine has integrity and that she will fight. And right is right, wrong is wrong. And I just about lost it. I'm going to lose it again. because it was, it is true, because that's the way I try to live my life. And for somebody else to see that and appreciate that and like verbalize that to other people was just amazing.
In the next hour, I'm going to play for you more of our conversation with Corrine Hendrickson, who's running for State Senate of District 17 here in Wisconsin. And I also want to let you know that we officially have our own newsletter here at Civic Media, Civic Media Today. You can sign up by going to civicmediatoday.substack.com. That way you can get an overview on everything that's happening around the network from around the state, whether it's our podcasting, whether it's our shows, stories we're working on. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com, sign up for that free newsletter, and it will be delivered to your inbox every day. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Our very own Earl Ingram has a great new show called What's Going On, a long-form conversation program where he talks to some of the most important leaders in and around the Milwaukee County area. And one of his regular guests is Dr. Howard Fuller, a luminary in the world of education, an emeritus professor at Marquette University, and the founder of the Dr. Howard Fuller Collegiate Academy. He joined Earl to talk about the problem with one of the most basic concepts in teaching our children, but it is one of the most important, that is reading and writing. And Dr. Fuller starts off with some heartbreaking statistics, but a plan moving forward.
When you look at the national assessment of educational progress, the NAEP scores. Black children, when you look at the 18 largest school districts in the United States of America, Black children in the city of Milwaukee have the lowest reading scores in the United States of America. Okay? Now, what has happened in Wisconsin is in July, I think, of 2023, the legislature passed a law. It's called Act 20. And what essentially Act 20 said was, in Wisconsin, we have to move to using the science of reading approach to teaching reading. Now, what is that? So back in 1997, a national panel was created to focus on the reading problem in the United States of America. That panel issued a report in 2000. And what the panel said was, there is evidence that if we're going to teach our kids how to read, the process has to involve phonics, phonemic awareness, spelling, vocabulary, comprehension. So what Act 20 said was, we're gonna mandate that all schools in the state of Wisconsin have to use this scientific-based approach or evidence-based approach to teaching reading. Because in the past in Wisconsin, we have been using what you call whole language or balanced literacy. You know, there's different right. terminology. Okay, so that is now state law. So when I became familiar with the law, the way that the law is written has great intentions, but I did not think it was going to make any impact in the city of Milwaukee. And so my focus, along with a number of others, I've been working specifically, we have created a Milwaukee Reading Coalition that is tri-chaired by Joanne Anton from Coles Philanthropy, Mark Sain, former chair of
right, Milwaukee School Board,
and myself. And there's now over 100 people, either as individuals or organizations, who are part of what is the Milwaukee Reading Coalition. The Milwaukee Reading Coalition has brought into being the Milwaukee Reading Commission. And the purpose of the Milwaukee Reading Commission is to raise private money and public money to do three things: to pay for the training that will be required for teachers to use a scientific-based approach to reading, to pay for the materials that you would need in the training, and to give those people who complete the training a stipend of $1,500. We believe that the reading problem that we have is not just the MPS problem, it's a citywide problem. Because we have charter schools that are not properly teaching kids how to read. We have private schools that are not properly teaching kids how to read. The universe, Earl, that we're talking about of getting this training is there's about 1,200, this is roughly about 1,280 regular education teachers, about another 400 special ed teachers, and about 220 principals. This is four-year-old kindergarten through third grade, because that's where the focus of Act 20 is. Our goal is to try to make sure that all of those people, that the teachers and the principals, go through professional development training in the science of reading. One of those professional development training entities is called Letters. And Letters was the professional development approach that we use beginning in the second year to say, if you're going to teach in the summer reading project, you have to go through Letters training. And the Letters training, Earl, required our teachers to come 8 consecutive Saturdays from 8:30 to 4:30 to get the training. And then there were coaches to work with them once they went into the classrooms. That's the type of training, Earl, that our teachers are going to need if we're going to change the approach that we're using to teach reading in the city of Milwaukee.
I highly suggest you go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for What's Going On. That's Earl's new show. It's a podcast. You can download it directly to your device and find the episode entitled Reading in Schools, What's Going On. You can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Listen to the entire thing. This is a nearly 1 hour conversation on the importance of teaching our children the basics, reading and writing, and making sure they have the doorway to success open for them. Again, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Stick around, because after the top of the hour news, Pat welcomes Cam Stevenson. He's Courier Newsroom's Capitol Hill correspondent, and he'll be talking about federal government news. And at 8:35, he turns it over to Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, talking about all things state politics. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59. Listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. Earlier, I played for you an interview, a selection actually, of an interview that Jane Matinere and I did on our show, Matinere on Air, with Corrine Hendrickson, who recently announced her candidacy for State Senate of District 17. And that is in south central Wisconsin. And you might be saying to yourself, I don't live there. I can't vote for her. And that's right. You cannot vote for her. But I want you to hear her story, because this reflects the views of a lot of voters who want leaders who will work for us, and you can help, whether it's her campaign or a candidate who you like, because that's how our voices are raised, through the process of support, through the process of elections, and getting out there and finding the people who will be the ones who will work for us, the people of Wisconsin. And something, Corrine, you shared in the chat on the break here, you said, so back to not resting, you closed your business on Friday, October 29th, and filed on Tuesday, September 2nd, because the first was a holiday. You would have done it on the first, because that's you. And you have more energy than you did, since you don't have 50 hours of working with kids behind you, so you have the energy to run. So the question I have for you is, Corrine, we know you as the childcare expert on the show. We have you talking about this issue at great lengths in great detail. But on that campaign trail, there are going to be other things you need to talk about, answer questions, and compose your platform for people to vote for you. What are you going to be talking about besides childcare to really get at the conversation of what the voters are looking for in your district?
Yep. So yes, both yesterday at my launch party at Toffler's with the Jimmies, that was fun. We had music, and Wednesday, and Elkhorns at both. They're called Elkhorns.
Thank you.
And so both of those days, I really talked about affordability. We really need to stop pricing people out of their homes. And what the core foundational reason for that is that our co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, Senator Mark Klein, who is in a person I'm going to be running against, he controls the state budget. That state budget, lack of investment and cuts to the local, you know, your fire, your municipalities, your school districts, all of those things, and deciding not to invest in childcare increases your property taxes. Because what happens is, whatever the state doesn't fill in, you still need those services in your smaller communities. Your property taxes have to go up. Well, when you're going from, you know, 6 million people that are paying a little bit in, down to your local small communities like New Glarus is 2,000 people, and we're having to fill in that gap, for what? It doesn't make sense. And the reason we're filling in the gap is because of the tax cuts for the rich. So while we're, that's by design too, because instead of us fighting back and pushing back on the government for refusing to invest, we're too busy fighting each other over the same scraps and getting angry, and the dehumanization and all of that language that's happening, it needs to stop. We're all humans. We all want the same things. As I've been talking to people, that's what I keep hearing. Affordability, affordability, affordability. And minimum wage, $7.50. Back to women should stay home with the kids. How's that happening with the husband making $8 an hour? And yes, you know, actually know who makes minimum wage in this state?
Child care providers. Yep.
So people do make minimum wage. It's not, you know, anything to be ashamed about. It's a shame that that's what we are earning. It's not that we should be ashamed of the fact we only earn that much. And that's part of the narrative change that I'm trying to do. And that's the work I've been doing for the last 5-6 years when talking to people. In my launch party yesterday, it was open to the public. So people were still coming in, like wanting a meal or whatever, and listen to the music, and they all of a sudden find themselves in this middle of this campaign. Well, I expected more people to just walk out, right? Because it's like, ooh. But they're like, this is fun. Who are you? And so after I talked and I said, hey, Generation X, you know, all those movies that we watched as kids where we stand up to the bully? Now's our time. Let's do this. Like, let's get together. And so they, this group of people at a table, I have no idea who they were, from Minnesota, I find out, donated to me. They came up to me and they're like, I heard what you said. I love what you said. Can we donate to you out of state? And I was like, absolutely. And they're like, you know, we really loved it. We looked you up. My wife was a childcare professional, and you have great things to say. Keep doing it. Keep fighting. We need That's more amazing. People like you. And so that to me was like, these people had no idea who I was. And that resonated. First person I talked to after I got off the stage the first time, like, are you a Democrat or a liberal or a centrist or a right winger? What are you?
What are you?
Like, hi, I'm Kareen. Cause he's like, you're purple. And I go, I did that by design. Cause my sign will stick out. Cause there's a primary. Also, because you see red or blue, you assume. You see purple and you go, huh, and you look me up and then you get to know me. And so my whole campaign is about getting to know people, having people do house parties, because the rural, especially, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Absolutely.
And then what I know and who I am and if they like me. But I have to get in that door. So I'm asking people even out of district, who do you know that lives in Grant, Iowa, Lafayette, Crawford, Greene counties, and the rainbow over Greene County of Dane County from Mount Horeb down to Brooklyn. And get them connected to me, introduce them to me. And then I can talk. We're going to have coffee shop stops. I already have an event down in Platteville at the Black Smock and the Speakeasy 50-50 planned for October, end of October. I'll get you the dates. And then I've got one in New Rose, a Witch's Night in October, because Witch's Nights are traditionally about women's rights and, you know, having conversations.
Mm, sure.
So we're going to do a Witch's Night there. So I've had some really great fun things planned. I also don't want it to be a paywall. So many people that were there yesterday have never donated to a political candidate. They have never gone to a political event because you have to pay for entry. And I don't want there to be a paywall. I am going to need a lot of funding. I'm not going to lie. That's the part I heard you talking about before. That's not my favorite part.
Sure.
But I have to be able to pay for gas to get to the places. I have to be able to pay for the envelopes and the website and all of the things and my campaign team. So I do need funding, but I really need the people on the ground and the volunteers. And I don't want to keep people out of it. I want to re-enfranchise people. I want to get the young people excited. My kids that graduated from me, my alumni, are starting to get to be voting age.
Oh, that's exciting.
So I'm going to try and get them engaged and have them like talk about like Mama Keen, you know, helped raise me and I'm going to vote for her because, so I'm going to really try hard to get more people to understand that government can and should work for you, and we should stop accepting them not doing that.
If you'd like to find out more about Kareen's campaign, go to kareen417.com. If you'd like to find out more about who represents you, go to myvote.wi.gov. Put in all your information, and it will tell you who represents you from the president down to the dog catcher if you still vote for them. Again, that's myvote.wi.gov. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take all your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the free Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here is what's going on in Wisconsin today. Whether you hear it from me or on Matt and Air on Air or the Maggie Dawn Show, we've been talking a lot about the VA Housing and Recovery Program, which has been cut because of lack of funding, and two housing facilities have been closed as of this month. And right now, they're going back and forth on various bills from either side of the aisle. It's $1.9 million. It shouldn't be that hard to find it, so why don't we just give them the housing they need? Well, Maggie Dawn spoke to State Senator Jeff Smith, and he gave an update on what's going on with the bill and what's being done with the veterans who are relying upon that housing.
It is my privilege to introduce all of you to my next guest, State Senator Jeff Smith, representing the Fighting District 31 since 2019, serving Chippewa, Eau Claire, and Trempealeau counties. We're here to talk about the Wisconsin Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Senator, I've had guests on before discussing this with me. It looked like there was a glimmer of hope after Republicans refused to greenlight less than $2 million in funding in the state biennium budget. Where do matters stand right now, Senator?
Well, let's be honest here. These facilities in Green Bay and Eau Claire, I mean, Chippewa Falls, are empty. It's too late. They've let this go too long. The responsible VA workers there made sure that the veterans that were there have moved on to other places where they could help be housed and hopefully actually get some help with their recovery. But it's still not the same as what they were getting.
Yeah, it is shameful. Again, folks, to understand what has happened here, Republicans blocked the funding for this. Governor Evers put the funding in his biennial budget. It is less than $2 million, which sounds and is a lot for regular people, but in the context of the state budgets, is but a drop in the bucket. Republicans blocked funding for this during the budget process. And now Democrats have proposed a clean bill that would provide this funding. Republicans have an alternative bill, but it's loaded down with a bunch of other Republican priorities, so it's dead in the water. Senator, I don't understand. What are your Republican colleagues? What is their excuse for not supporting a clean bill that was proposed by Democrats? I just don't understand.
I don't understand either, Maggie. You know, on the floor at the budget, we did propose an amendment as well that included that. They all voted against that. Yeah. So then we chose to go the route of just a clean bill with just this $1.9 million that would at least kept this these facilities going for another year, and that has been ignored. We can't get a hearing. We can't get anything out of the Republicans. And then, of course, Senator Jacques, submitted this other bill that had a couple of other what we might call poison pills to the Republicans. I mean, I'd be happy to get all three things done that are in his bill, but the Republicans are not interested at all. So why we can't just, and like, you know, you said it, Maggie, out of a $100 billion budget, $1.9 million is a drop in the bucket.
This is one of the things that just boggles my mind. Folks, if you're just joining us, I've got as a special guest this half hour, State Senator Jeff Smith of Senate District 31. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. As of September 30th, in 4 days, the leases will officially end. The last resident left about 2 weeks ago. These facilities are empty. These are homes that help house unhoused veterans in the Fox Valley region. There was one in Chippewa Falls and another in Green Bay. Those officially closed on September 12th. I'm reading reports that Wisconsin has approximately 350 to 400 homeless veterans. These two facilities offered respectively 48 and 17 beds. This is not capacity that we can lose. It's not like we have more beds for unhoused veterans than we have unhoused veterans. We've had to send some of these veterans to other states to get housing, which to me is such a failure of frankly Republicans in this state to do what they should be doing to honor our servicemen and women who have protected our freedoms for so long. Has there been any articulated reason from Republicans that you know of, Senator, for why they won't vote for the clean bill that will restore this meager $1.9 million, this drop in the bucket funding for this program?
Yeah, they won't respond to our questions about our bill. But they instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Now, what they're suggesting from the very beginning is that, well, the governor didn't push it hard enough. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them to do this. You know, we got a 12-4 majority in the Joint Finance Committee. It's entirely up to them to be able to do that. They could have done that.
This smacks of such doublespeak, right? Republicans, if it doesn't make you a patriot to put an American flag pin on your lapel. What proves to constituents that you truly care about this country is that you support our veterans.
Go to civicmedia.us/shows, look for The Maggie Dawn Show, and find the episode entitled Rodeo Clowns and Resilient Runners. Download it today and listen to it anytime you'd like. That's civicmedia.us/shows. And if you'd like a daily roundup of everything happening here at the network, go to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Sign up for our brand new newsletter, and we'll deliver it right to your email every single day so you can keep up to speed with everything we're doing here at Civic Media. Again, that's civicmediatoday.substack.com. It's absolutely free, and you should tell a friend. Stick around, because after Pat is Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair and me, Greg Bach. And at 10:06, we welcome State Senator Kelda Royce to talk about her candidacy for Wisconsin governor. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.